I told you this morning we're going to be speaking on maintaining a heart of gratitude. Exodus chapter number 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, and I would like to read this responsively. We don't do this much, but I will read a verse, and then everybody join in with me on verse number 2. Then I will read verse number 3. Everybody join in with me on verse number 4, and so on. So if you are in Exodus chapter number 16, and we are going to read verse 1 through 8 responsively with me reading the first verse. Are you ready? Pastor Derek's ready, and a few others are close, but let's try this, all right? Don't become so consumed with the reading that you don't listen to the message and pick up on what's going on as well, that you get kind of the story that we're reading here as well. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at eve, Then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. This here is our evening of gratitude, a recognition of those that have invested in our lives and those people in which we are thankful for, a time to express that and to let it be made known. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes that we have together on the idea of maintaining a heart of gratitude. As we talked about this morning, every Christian, it ought to be a way of life. Our life ought to be described by or exemplify a heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratitude. At the close of his long life, J.K. Chesterton, the English writer, was asked what he thought was the most important lesson that he ever learned in all of his days. He replied this, It is to take things with gratitude and to not take them for granted. To take things with gratitude and to not take them for granted. I'll tell you, what would it do to our relationships if we took that person with gratitude instead of taking them for granted? What would it do to our husbands and wives if we had gratitude for and extended to one another instead of taking all that they do for us for granted? What would it do for us as we think about the kids that God has given us and the home that we have and be able to take them and what they are and what they mean to us in a spirit of gratitude instead of taking them for granted? What would it do to our relationships here in God's house amongst the church family if we were to, as was expressed tonight so eloquently by the church family for one another, to take each other for gratitude instead of for granted? This ought to be what we have as a people. We ought to have a heart of gratitude. And when gratitude fills the heart, thankfulness will come out of the mouth. A thankful person says, I have much more than I deserve. The unthankful person says, I deserve much more than I have. That's the defining statement between that person which has and maintains a heart of gratitude and one who does not. To say, I have much more than I deserve, or I deserve much more than I have. We need a heart of gratitude. This is not natural. This is not something that just happens. We must give forth effort and strive to maintain a heart of gratitude. And as we talked about this morning, spend some time contemplating and thinking about the tremendous blessings which we are blessed with each and every day. So I have three simple points for you this evening about maintaining a heart of gratitude. What do we have to do to maintain a heart of gratitude? We'll learn from our text, which we've read here, with the children of Israel, which obviously at this point, murmuring, complaining about what God had done and where God had brought them, they didn't have a heart of gratitude, did they? No, they didn't. But we ought to have a heart of gratitude, shouldn't we? Amen. I think what I need to do is I need to run down here, and I need to. We need to have a heart of gratitude, don't we?
Amen.
That's what I need to do. That's what we got. I'll just tell you. Wait. I need to tell you this. I'm just gonna say it. I don't know if I should say it or not, but hey, how many of you think we ought to have a heart of gratitude?
Amen.
It works for Brother Bagwell. Pastor Perry and I were talking Monday night, I think it was, after the revival, and Pastor Perry and I were talking about Brother Bagwell, and says he's just such a unique individual. God has gifted him so uniquely, and we were saying, you know, if any other pastor tried to copy him, you just look like an idiot. People would be like, what is wrong with that guy? You know, he's got something, the elevator doesn't go all the way up or whatever, but... Yeah, Brother Bagwell, he's a blessing. So there's three simple things. First of all, in our lives, if we're going to have a heart of gratitude, we're going to maintain that, we need to trust God's leading. We need to trust God's leading in our life. You see, the children of Israel, in verse number 3, says, And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye, you see that? They said, for ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. You know, the children of Israel found themselves in an uncomfortable and a tiresome and trial that they were facing here in the wilderness. It was a rough place. They found themselves in this situation, but God is the one that led them there. You see, God had directed for them to leave Egypt. God freed them in a miraculous way. You know, we find them here murmuring and complaining when God was the one that had directed them there. Robert West said, Nothing is easier than fault finding. No talent is necessary, no brains are needed, and no character is required to set yourself up in the complaining business. So that's the kind of company you're in if complaining is your modus operandi. But God had directed his people in a miraculous way out of Egypt. And we don't have time to go through what did God do? Why does my mind do that? Brother Bagwell's 74 years old and he doesn't forget anything. All the plagues that God brought on into Egypt. Not one, not two or three, 10 miraculous plagues that God brought into the Egyptians' lives to bring them to the place where they could be freed. I mean, miraculous. It wasn't just like it rained one day. I mean, miraculous events that God did in to bring them to a place of freedom. They got to witness that. They got to see that. But you know what now? From reading the text, does anybody know how long that they've been on the road? Look in verse number 1. We are now in the 15th day of the second month. So how long have they been on the road? Month and a half or 45 days or 6 weeks, you know what I mean? 6 weeks. So I imagine that they had planned for some time on the road. I mean, when they packed up and left, they probably, you know, had some Lunchables or whatever they needed, you know, for their trip, you know, some crackers and cheese. They had planned for this, but they had been 6 weeks now trekking through the desert. And there wasn't just two or three of them. You know, there's anywhere from 2 to 3 million of them. And they were getting hungry. I mean, 6 weeks on the road without food would probably make even the most spiritual Christian start to question. It was enough time that they had forgotten all that God had done. And like a drop of red food coloring in a clear glass of water, one drop and that food coloring just spreads. That complaining and murmuring spirit spread through the children of Israel until the scripture tells us that the whole congregation was murmuring and complaining. That is why it's so important, Christian, that we guard our mouth. That we're careful about our murmuring or complaining, about our expressing our dissatisfaction with this or that. Because that expression of dissatisfaction is going to spread. Because human nature, we like to grab a hold of that. And it starts to spread, and it goes through the whole congregation before you know it. All of these people, they had forgotten how God protected them when they left. Do you remember? They were left Egypt. They hadn't been gone very long, and Pharaoh changed his mind again. He changed his mind more often than a lady. Now, I'm getting in trouble now, right? He changed his mind again, and he got his army, and he went after them. And there they were with their backs against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army coming after them. But God miraculously parted the Red Sea. And they walked across on dry ground. And then to top that off, they got to the other side and they got to turn around and watch as the Egyptian army ran into the Red Sea and God closed it up. Conquered their enemy just like that. Wow, look at this. Now you tell me, how did they know where to go? How did the Israelites know which way to go? Do you know? Yeah, God led them. Do you know how God led them?
He did,
but do you know which ones? Right, let me let you. You're absolutely right. That's what he did. So when the children of Israel began murmuring against Moses, and they said, "Ye have brought us out here." Is that who brought them out there? No. God, the creator of the universe, the savior of their life, the one that had freed them, the one that had parted the Red Sea for them, the one that had protected them from their enemies. What I'm saying is, if we want to maintain a heart of gratitude, we've got to be able to trust God's leading. Here they were at a place and they were getting hungry. Their backs were up against another wall, as it were. And they began to murmur and to complain because they had forgotten all that God did yesterday, all that God did 6 weeks ago, all that God did in the past. And they began to murmur and complain. What I'm trying to say is, if you want to maintain a heart of gratitude, you've got to trust where God is leading you. realized He is the one that has guided your steps. He is the one that has led you that way. They were looking back to Egypt. They had forgotten about the bondage, about the taskmaster that was over them. They had forgotten about all the work that they had to do, about all the bricks that they had to make and carry. All they remembered was the flesh pots. The flesh pots is a large pot that they would throw the what would essentially be the scraps of regular food into and boil it to make some type of broth. Usually, they believe it to be a fish. They would use some type of fish scraps and make some type of broth that they could eat with bread. And they were looking back at that and saying, man, I wish we could be back and have those flesh pots. You know, God has saved a lot of sinners out of the old flesh pots of sin and brought them into their Christian life and freed them from the bondage of the control of Satan. And many times we look back at the old flesh pots. We forget about the hard taskmaster that we were under. We forget about all that we wanted to be freed from. We came to Jesus Christ and we repented of our sin and trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. And He freed us from that bondage of sin and lifted the weight and the burden of sin off of our shoulders. But now, for some reason, we're looking back at that flesh pot. Saying, boy, I wish I could go back there. I wish I could have that. They had forgotten. Let me ask you tonight. Is a life of faith in Christ worse than a life of slavery to Satan? Is your life of faith in Christ worse than a life of slavery to Satan? The children of Israel had forgotten all that God had done for them, how God had delivered them, how God had saved them from the Egyptian army, how God had walked them through the middle of the Red Sea on dry land, how the Egyptian army had been killed. He led them by day and by night. He also had turned bitter water into sweet. They were thirsty, and God gave them drink. If we're going to maintain a heart of gratitude, we need to trust God's leading. What I'm saying is that they should have known that God was trustworthy. They should have known by what they had already experienced and what God had already done for them that God could and would sustain them. Give me just a couple of minutes to talk about this in your life. Where has God led you? What is it that you're looking at right now and you say maybe God has led you to a job? And you're looking at that job and you're not as fulfilled as you would like to be, or your needs aren't as met as you would like them to be, or maybe your pay is not as strong as you would like it to be, or whatever it's going on. But if God has led you to that job, you need to be able to trust God's leading in your life. Trust God's leading. Wherever God has brought you into your life and He's guided you and taken you to that place, then understand that God is still in control and He's still on the throne and you can trust Him. And it'll help you to maintain a heart of gratitude even in an uncomfortable situation because you know that God has led you there. That God is in control. Maybe God has led you to a church that you call your church home, and you say, God led me there. Listen, if God has led you to a church, there should never be any murmuring. There should never be any complaining because God has led you there. It's amazing to me how somebody can come to a church like this and they become part of the church family and they begin to grow and they begin to see God work. And they'll tell me on the way out of church, man, Pastor Caleb, that message was just for me. It was just what I needed. Thank you so much. It encouraged my heart. And they come and they get to be friends with some of the brothers and sisters in Christ at church. And they enjoy it. And then all of a sudden, they're not here. And we say, where'd you go? Call them up on the phone and say, oh, what happened? And it's amazing. They learned that Bob doesn't wear deodorant. They decided not to come to church anymore. I mean, what I'm saying is they learned something about, you know, when you're in a family, you start to learn something about that goofy uncle you have. Or that crazy aunt or that cousin that's a little bit different. You start, but hey, you're all part of a family. And we're all part of a church family. And you're going to learn some things about different people in the church. Bob probably does wear deodorant. I'm not saying that. You're going to learn something about other people in the church. We're all just human. You're going to learn, oh, that they do this or they do that. Or you know what? That person is not very friendly. La-ti-da. I mean, I'll tell you what, tonight, you know, we're thinking about it, and everybody's thinking about friends that have meant so much to us and how they've impacted our life, and we've expressed that gratitude. Well, as was preached to the young people, let me turn that around and say, what kind of a friend have you been? What kind of a friend have you been to others? You say, that person is not very friendly. Who cares? What kind of friend are you? That person didn't say hi. Did you say hi? The pastor didn't shake my hand. Did you shake his hand? I can guarantee you if you come up and shake my hand, I'll shake your hand. It's just an inevitable reciprocal action. If you shake my hand, I'm shaking your hand. It's not that hard. Why is it all of a sudden God's leading in our lives? God has led us to a church, and all of a sudden God's leading in our lives. God's will changed. Because I found out this, or because, you know what? I don't think we should have a Christmas banquet. Or whatever else goofy thing the devil wants to put into your mind. I'm saying if you want to maintain a heart of gratitude, you've got to trust God's leading. Wherever God's led you, whatever you're going through in your life, whatever challenge you're facing, has God taken you to a lion's den? You're in a lion's den right now? Who in the world could praise God in the midst of a lion's den? Daniel did. Has God got you in a boat out in the middle of a storm? You're going through a storm in your life right now, and it seems like you're going to be overturned and you aren't going to make it through. Well, you can know that Jesus has led you and that He's there on the boat with you and that He'll carry you to the other side. Has God taken you into a fiery furnace? With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you feel like you're going to be consumed because God has pulled you or directed you or led you to the place in your life. You're in the middle of a furnace and you say, I don't know what to do. But hey, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the king looked and said, didn't we cast three in there? But there's the four in there, and the fourth is likened unto the Son of God. When you're, whatever challenge you're facing, whatever burden you're going through in your life, you can know that God is with you. If you trust His leading, no matter where it is, you can be like Job. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. On Friday morning, I went down to the hospital and sat across the bed from Doug and Christina as he's had this roller coaster of treatment. Over the last months, literally sitting there in pain, couldn't hardly quite even acknowledge my presence. Doug was in rough shape. But his dear wife standing over him, just patting his leg, saying, Pastor Caleb, tell the church we know God didn't bring this into his life. Tell the church we know God's in control. And even though we've got bad news, even though they've just told us that Doug has kidney failure and we're not sure what this means for the next step quite yet, and the doctors don't have an answer yet, tell them that we know God is still in control and that we trust God's leading. And I said, Christina, that is where the rubber meets the road. That is what Christianity is. That is what being a godly person is. It's easy to praise the Lord when the sun is shining and things are going well, but when you're there in the hospital and the love of your life is literally fighting for His life, to look up to God and say, God, no matter what burden, no matter what trial, no matter what test, we trust you because we know you're a good God and you've got our best interest at heart. Then, Lord, we love you and we thank you and we know that we can lean on you. That is a Christian. And I said, Christina, can I, with your permission, tell the church family about your testimony of faith in God at this hour? She said, yes. God has to get the glory somehow. God has to get the glory somehow. Through this whole thing, never one time have I heard a negative comment or a negative remark from either one of them. And what I'm saying is, if you want to be able in your greatest hour of trial, trust God. You got to trust His leading. You got to trust His leading. You also have to trust His feeding. Trust His feeding. This group of people found themselves at this place in their life by the direct leading of God. If God led them there, do you think God would feed them? God had a plan. They weren't going to die of hunger. Yet they did not want to trust God's feeding. I'm saying in your life, sometimes provisions look meager. Sometimes the ends don't look like they're going to meet. Or you aren't going to be able to pay this or pay that, or you're not going to have the food that you would like to have. But we need to trust God's feeding. God can and will provide where He leads. God will meet your need. And what I'm saying, if you want to be able to have a heart of gratitude, even in a time when it doesn't look like there's enough food, trust God's feeding. Know that He can. Dr. Les Frazier, a missionary to Japan for many, many years and a Far East director for BIMI for a lot of years, teaching on this parable, the wilderness, or not the parable, sorry, on this time of the wilderness wanderings, he had kind of an unusual way of speaking himself. And Dr. Les Frazier said, well, you know, these people had a plan by God. And God had told them they had to go out every day and get their food for 40 years. For 40 years, they had to go out every single day and get their food. And you know something? I suppose you could be pretty certain that if after 40 years you didn't learn a lesson, you'd be classified as a slow learner. You see, God wants us to rely on Him. The whole purpose and reason for them happening to go out and gather their food every day was that they would be relying on Him to feed them. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't have to pray that here in America because we're so richly blessed. I mean, we've got so much food, it's ridiculous. But their plan, by God's direction, was that they would daily go out. And if we read the story again, and I know many of you probably didn't catch it, but in the story there, they went, and I mean, human nature took over. The first day, the manna came. Whoa, man, look at all this food. Hey, we got to get, well, the getting's good, right? Let's gather this food up. Let's get this food. And they went out there, and I can picture it. They, hey, kids, go get the wheelbarrow. Hey, kids, go get some boxes. Let's get all this food. And they probably labeled it and stacked it up, brought it into the house. They had put it in a storage room, you know. They had all this. Oh, hey, there's still some more out there. Come on, kids. The kids are dying, like, oh, we don't want to work anymore. I'm sure they had that problem, too. And they go out there, and let's get some more, kids. And they gather it all in, and they ate to their fill. And then they went to bed. And they got up in the morning, and everything that they had gathered, there was a stink in the house. Have you ever had something go bad? Have you ever had something get spoiled? I mean, it's just stinks, and you know, the bugs have got into it and it's starting to mold or whatever. They had to do a whole bunch of work and clean all that mess out. But hey, there was fresh manna out there the next day. I'm just going to take a second and throw this out. You know, some of us Christians sometimes, we want to go gather above what God's plan is for us. What I'm saying is, I know you make double time on Sunday, but we're supposed to be in God's house. And you're like, oh man, I got to get while the getting's good. And you go to work and you get that double time on Sunday. I don't know, but that God doesn't make all that extra that you brought in just go to waste. Just go to waste. It's just spoiled. It's like you didn't even get it. Went to no profit because you went above what God had planned for you. In chapter 15, God let them get thirsty. In chapter 16, God let them get hungry. God tested them with the essentials of life, because oftentimes when we have the essentials, we forget about God. They were to gather food one day at a time, as God directed, that they would obey Him. Look at verse number 17, 18, and 19. Chapter 16, verse 17, 18, and 19. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered so more, some less. And when they did meet it with the Omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. See, they had given direction here not to have any extra. Don't save it till morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left off it until the morning, and it breaded worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. They were supposed to gather every morning what God planned for them that day. You and I can trust Him. We don't need to find our own way. We can trust God's leading, God's providing, God's feeding. We don't have to neglect God's will for us because we're worried about the future. We don't have to be dishonest to get what we think we need, because God will give it to us. If you come out on the short end of a stick in a deal, you were honest and you came up on the short end of the stick, God will take care of it. God will make up the difference. God knows. We honor God first and let Him meet the need. Henry Ward Beecher said, pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soul out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom grateful, for he never thinks he has as much as he deserves. Turn to Psalms 106. Psalms 106. This is a story. Psalms 106 is a synopsis of what we're reading right now. In Psalms 106, look at verse number 10. I mean, listen for the story that we just read. Listen for the story of the children of Israel and it being described here. Look what he says. He says, and he saved some from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. They were not one of them left. I mean, you remember that part of the story where the Egyptians went to the Red Sea and were covered, right? Okay, so verse number 12. Then believed they his words, they sang his praises. So they came out and they said, wow, look at what God has done. And they praised God. Verse number 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. God gave them what they asked for, but sent leanness to their soul. You see, we've got to meet our desires inside of the will of God. find a way to meet our needs and what we desire, even if it's an actual and legitimate need. We need to meet it inside of the will of God, because we need to please God first and let God make up the difference. You see, it wouldn't be right for me to go steal, even though I might be hungry. It wouldn't be right for me to steal it just to have some food, even though I'm hungry. It's a legitimate need. But I need to trust God and honor God first and let God meet the need. Then we need to trust God's pruning. Trust God's pruning. Now, the act of pruning we know is used that God might improve and bring about more fruit in our lives. When you have a plant and you prune it back and it grows that much more, and you prune the branches that aren't successful and you prune this area so that it can grow and bring forth more fruit. That's what God does in our lives. Let me ask you, why did God allow his people to get thirsty? God could have had every single rock that the Israelites walked by, there could have been a fountain of water coming out of the rock. Oh, look, here's some water. They could have been going down. There's another rock they passed. There's water. God could have done that. Why did God let them get thirsty? Why did God allow them to get hungry? God could have gone ahead and had manna from day one on the ground. They could have been traveling and just been picking up manna at any time, because there was some pruning that needed to be done, because God wanted to work in their life and teach them some lessons. Let me show you this last reference, and we'll close. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. This is the same story, but we're going to look at it from God's perspective. The same story, except now we're kind of viewing it from God's view instead of man's view. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, in verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy remnant waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. God did this to do some pruning. And in your life, as God comes to you and says, hey, this is unnecessary, this is something you don't need, we don't need this in our lives, as God does some pruning, you got to trust his pruning. You might say, oh, I don't like that, or I want to keep that, or I'm not ready to give that up, or this is something that I need for my life. Just trust God's pruning, because we know that he has our best interests at heart. And if we're going to maintain a heart of gratitude, we got to trust God's leading. Wherever we are, whatever we're going through, be able to just trust his leading and be able to have a heart of gratitude anyway. And we trust his feeding and we trust his pruning. Now let me just close by saying this. We're talking this evening about having a heart of gratitude, and it's founded in, the foundational principle is trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. You know, the first thing that any man must trust the Lord for is for his salvation. We must trust the Lord for salvation. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 9, he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. We need to trust God. We can't do it on ourselves. No man can get to heaven by himself. We've got to trust God. We can't trust in riches. The Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We can't trust riches, but you can trust God. You can trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You say, I don't understand how that all works. You don't have to understand it. You just have to trust it.